Welcome back to Lifeline on Near FM 90.3. My name's Michael Sullivan, and on the line I've got Lee Gatt. And Lee is confidential recipient for vulnerable persons. Good morning, Lee. How are you?
Good morning. I'm grand, thanks.
Lee, would you explain to us, you know, who you are and what your job is?
Sure. My name's Lee. I confidential recipients, very flowery language, and people probably wouldn't understand what that meant. But basically what I do is I act as a voice for people with disabilities or older people who feel that they have been victims of abuse, neglect, or poor practice by the HSC or their service providers. So that's basically what my job is. People put concerns into me, and I make sure that they go to the correct people in the HSC to get sorted for them.
Yeah, and, you know, that's so important. You were saying that not a lot of people would understand what confidential recipient is, but do a lot of people even know that you exist?
I think that a lot of people don't, although it is on the HSC website, and there has been a bit of a publicity drive over the summer Pat Kenny and the Examiner and a couple of other places as well. So I think, judging from the numbers of concerns that are coming in, I think people are starting to know who we are for sure.
And what we will do is we will put the link to the HSE website and all the information on how to get in touch with yourself. We'll put that link onto the podcast when it's done.
Fantastic, thank you.
Now, Safeguarding Ireland, they did a survey on, you know, on what people thought about you know, how things were for people with disabilities. And some of the findings are a bit disturbing, I suppose you might say.
Yes, absolutely. Like, you know, it came out very clearly on the survey that people with disabilities don't have equal rights to anybody else. And that's very true. That's very true. Like, for example, if you look at safeguarding, can mean a number of things. For example, if somebody doesn't have a home, they're more at risk of abuse than if they do have a home. And if you remember, about 2 weeks ago, it was on the news, all these hundreds of millions getting spent on housing. The word disability was not mentioned once as to how many accessible homes were going to be included in that. Whether people with disabilities were even going to be included in that. Things like employment, like, you have far more of a chance. I think it's like 75% of the population with a disability is unemployed. So that's not equal rights. You talk about transport. It's getting better, but it's still not there. Like, for instance, on the Lewis in Dublin, you have to give 24-hour notice if you want to go on the Lewis. You don't have to give 24-hour notice. PA services, which is different from home health services. Home health is for older people, really, and will help them, like a home health. But a PA service is an extension of the person's arms and legs. And so that PA can go out with a person, can drive the person's car for them if they're properly insured, can help that person at work, can go out and help them if they want to go and meet friends for coffee, etc. But the only thing is that there are very few PAs in the country. It's all home health care. So a lot of people with disabilities, younger people, we're not talking about the over 1,400 younger people who are in nursing homes against their will. we were talking about everybody else, the people in the community, most people receive less than 10 hours a week PA service. So that doesn't give you much time to live any sort of a life. It gives you time to get out of bed in the morning, get into bed at night. And with, when you have carers coming in rather than PAs, they tell you when they're coming in and when you're going to bed. An awful lot of adults with disabilities are being put to bed at 7:30 or 8 in the evening against their will. But they're being put to bed then, because if they don't, they'll have to sit up in their wheelchairs all night because it costs more to put staff in later. So a lot of times they're told, take it or leave it. That's not equal rights, and that's not safeguarding, because if you're lying in a bed for 12 to 14 hours of the night, how could that be safe for somebody?
Yeah, you know, I'm an able-bodied person, and you know, I'm shocked, to be honest, because these things never really cross my mind. And I'm ashamed to say it, but they haven't.
But they wouldn't if it doesn't affect you. Yeah. For most people, I remember when I was 17 years old, I was living at home in Uri. And I came home one day, I was up the town in my powered wheelchair, and I came home given out about the size of the step on the post office and that I couldn't get into the post office. Now, we had lived in Uri all our life, and my mother had used the post office all her life. And she looked at me and she said, there's a step on the post office. she hadn't even noticed, because you don't if it doesn't affect you, you know.
Yeah, but the idea, and it just beggars belief that you would be asked to give 24 hours notice to take the Lewis.
Absolutely.
To me, that's criminal. Yeah.
And that's the same on many trains. And I know that on the buses in Limerick, for example, if you want to use one of the buses, you know, the bigger coaches that would go city to city or would go out into the rural areas, you have to give them 24 hours notice if you want to use the bus.
Yeah. I have to say, you know, it's ludicrous, but not
it
actually goes further than ludicrous. To me, it's in some ways it's actually criminal, because that's somebody in that organisation has written down that as a policy, and that policy,
welcome to our world.
That policy is out and out discriminatory, it's designed to put you off using that service.
Absolutely, but then again, many people with disabilities in Ireland wouldn't be out in the evening, wouldn't be out at night, because sure, don't they have to be in bed for 7:30?
Yes. Mm.
So that means that you can't go out to a restaurant with friends, you can't go to the cinema in the evening, you can't. And these are pre-COVID times too. You know, it's not just now. You know, you can't. A younger person with a disability can't decide that whenever they open again that they want to go to a nightclub with their friends. You know, college students with disabilities can't decide they want to go to a nightclub, because sure, don't they have to be back and in bed?
So, I'm taken aback and I'm lost for words, which is something that I'm not normally done. But what can we do? Because these things are not going to change overnight. But how do we actually make the start to make these things change? Because I don't think started.
I think that if all public, like for instance, radio stations like yourselves, should ask questions. Like every time something comes up about, say for instance, the government make a statement saying, oh, we're going to spend X amount of millions and millions on housing, you know, the question should be getting asked by reporters and by researchers, they should be getting asked how many of those houses are for people with mobility disabilities, or families with mobility disabilities. You know, most apartments are too small for somebody in a wheelchair to accommodate them. I remember when my son, who's older now, but was going to look at his first apartment, and one of the apartments that we went to look at, that I went with him, he's 5'11", and he could actually stretch out his arms and almost touch both sides of the living room. That's how big the apartments are, you know. So how does somebody in a wheelchair fit into something like that?
Indeed.
And live in it.
And to be honest, it's not even that we should have to ask how many of those homes are going to be suitable for people. That should be a given that every home that is provided, that it is usable by everybody.
Actually, that would be way too sensible. So it would, but you're absolutely right. And I think it's Sweden, or maybe it's Switzerland, but I think it's Sweden has had a law now for the last 20 or 30 years saying that every home that's being built should be accessible from the cradle to the grave, which makes a whole lot of sense, because as you get older, your mobility may get worse. And so if you have a home that you can stay in and get supports in, that would save a lot of people from having to go into care, you know, which would save a whole lot of money on the state, which would make a whole lot of sense and would be the choice of the person.
Yeah, you know, many years ago, I worked with a large supermarket group, and I worked for some time within the property department. And I remember when we would, I normally dealt with the gaining of planning permission and so forth, right? But then I also supported the development once it got planning permission and was going to be built. Once you got planning permission, you were going to build. You then had to contact the local authority, and you had to go to their building enforcement section and give your commencement notice and put in your drawings and things like that. And when you did that in there, they were absolute sticklers, particularly here in Dublin, they're absolute sticklers for that. You met all the criteria, which most of them were, that all the buildings had to be accessible to everybody.
Yes.
And while not just customers, staff as well.
And shops are getting there on accessibility. The law that was passed in 1995, the housing law, said that the house had to be visitable, not livable, visitable. So there should be one ramped access point, and there should be a toilet downstairs. But that's it. You know, like, there's nothing about a bedroom downstairs. There's nothing about building bungalows. And developers don't want to build bungalows because they take up too much space. You could put two houses in the space where a bungalow would go.
Is that part M of the building regulations?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure, but that sounds very familiar.
Yeah, there's a little bell in the back of my head going part M. But, you know, the other thing is like having a toilet downstairs is great, but it has to be accessible.
Absolutely, like, and a lot of them are not. But then again, you know, why would the worry about people with disabilities, especially significant disabilities, visiting anybody if they don't get enough support hours to barely get out of bed in the morning? They don't get enough support hours to leave their own home. They're not going to go anywhere. They're not going to visit anybody. They're going to be isolated in their own community.
It's to be honest, it's actually very short-sighted, and it's it's been, you know, a penny wise and pound foolish, because
totally.
You are denying our economy the productivity of people with disabilities. Because
absolutely.
If you can't live your life, if you have to be stuck in bed at this time and that time, so you're never going to be fit for anything. And your mind is always going to be thinking about how am I going to get this and that sorted out, rather than being able to get out there and use your brain.
I tell you, one of the saddest things is that many younger people with disabilities now, even very significant disabilities, go through third level education now. And when they're going through third level education, they have all of the supports and services they need to get them through that. But once they finish that third level education, they are not guaranteed, it is not a right that they have the supports and services. So they're supposed to go home and live with mommy and daddy until mommy and daddy are too old for them to live with them. And then they'll probably end up in a nursing home with mommy and daddy, mm-hmm. instead of being able to use the degree that they got,
yeah.
and go out and get a job and live a full life like everybody else.
Yeah. And contribute to society.
With so many
yeah.
people.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. It's madness, you know, to expect if you were talking there about mommy and daddy looking after their child, their adult disabled or person with a disability, is that not it just madness? The idea of having two people looking after this person, but they're not trained to do it.
No, they're not trained to do it, but it's expected.
Yeah,
it's expected, and you know, it's like that. Is some of the horrific concerns that I get in here are parents in their late 70s, early 80s, who are looking after somebody who may have a severe intellectual disability, who may have a severe physical disability. You know, there is no support out there for them. And, you know, so rather than that person, especially somebody with a physical disability, being able to get the supports to move out and get their own home, they're put into, well, people are put into residential care, which is the only choice at the moment. When you go into residential care, you don't have a choice of who you live with. You're put into a house with other people who you may or may not know, and they're certainly not your friends, but you're put in where there's a free slot. Like, that's the reality of life at the moment in Ireland for many people with disabilities, or you're put into a nursing home. You know, and that is a reality for many younger people in their 30s and 40s with disabilities in Ireland today.
How do we get this change started? Do we have to start banging the door of our local public representatives and saying?
No, I think that the government needs to be. Their doors need to be banged because, well, like, you know, public representatives too, because, you know, I think the council should be held to account of, well, how many accessible houses are you building? You know, how much accessible housing do you have? I think that then DHSE and the Department of Health need to be held accountable too. How much support are people getting? I know that the HSE on the ground are doing the very best with what they have. I am not defending them by any means. Anybody who knows me would tell you I don't do that. But I would say they're doing the very best with what they have. But at the end of the day, the buck stops with the government. Like, before the pandemic, disability services and the HSE got little or no extra funding for 2 years before the pandemic, and were told there's no money for this. And then when the pandemic hit, within 24 hours, the money tree magically blossomed, because it was affecting people other than those with a disability. And so all of a sudden the money tree blossomed and there was money coming out of everywhere. You know, so it just, people with disabilities are not seen as first-class citizens in this country by many people. We're seen as second-class citizens.
So how do we also need to educate ourselves? Do the general public need to educate themselves as well?
I think so. You know, like, do you know somebody with a disability? Go and talk to them. Find out what their life is like. You know, I don't mean to go and stalk people and turn up at their door at 11 o'clock at night and go, I want to know about your life. But, you know, talk to people with disabilities. Don't ignore them. Include people. Like, inclusiveness. A lot of times people with disabilities are left out of things because, for instance, somebody might be embarrassed to invite a blind friend to the movies. Oh, well, you know, it would embarrass them. That person will tell you themselves whether they want to go or not.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people are not invited to, say, somebody's having a few people over to their house. They'll not invite the person with a disability, especially like a mobility disability, or if they're deaf or maybe blind or something, because, or an intellectual disability, because although they wouldn't enjoy themselves, it would be embarrassing for them. You know, let that person make their own decision whether it would be embarrassing for them or not, where they want to go. I would say they would jump at the opportunity of being included.
Indeed, unless they have to be in bed by 7.
Unless they have to be in bed by 7. Exactly. You got it. You really do get it.
Lee, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you this morning, and it's opened my eyes in some ways that I hadn't thought about previously, and hopefully the listeners are starting to think about it, because you've got to get away from yourself and start to think about others. You have to have that bit of empathy and move out.
You don't even have to get away from yourself, because we're not an exclusive club. People with disabilities invite anybody in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You could walk out of the radio station today, God forbid this would happen, but you could walk out of the radio station today and be hit by a bus and get a spinal cord injury or get a traumatic brain injury. Like, we're not an exclusive club, but anybody can join at any time. So, like, you're not only looking out for the rights of others,
mm-hmm.
potentially you're looking out for your own rights down the road.
Indeed, and as you said, you also speak up for older people.
Yes.
And that's going to happen to us all. We're all getting older.
If you get the privilege of growing older, that'll happen to you.
Indeed. If somebody wants to know more about this, where's the best place to go? Is it Safeguarding Ireland?
Yes, they can go to Safeguarding Ireland for sure. I'm sure they'd be happy to either talk to them or email them. I'm sure you have their details of Safeguarding Ireland there.
I have.
If they've got a concern, they can come to this office if they want. I'm more than happy to talk to people. I have my phone on from usually 8 in the morning until about 7 in the evening, Monday through Friday.
Right. Well, I will put the website for Safeguarding Ireland and the web address for yourself on the HSE site.
And if you've got a concern, like, safeguarding is everybody's business. So if you see something that you think that somebody very vulnerable, it doesn't have to be somebody with a disability, or it doesn't have to be an older person. Like, somebody can be vulnerable if they're in an abusive relationship, or if they're heavily pregnant and have to walk down the road on their own at night. Like, they're vulnerable. Anybody can be vulnerable. Like, you break your leg, you're kind of vulnerable because you need somebody to help you. So, you know, if you see something that you think is wrong and that you think somebody is possibly in danger with, make sure to let somebody know. Either, you know, get on to safeguarding in the HSC, get on to safeguarding Ireland, get on to myself, get on to the guards. Let somebody know.
Indeed. Lee, once again, thanks very much for chatting to me.
No problem. You're more than welcome. Take care of yourself.
And you too. Take care. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, there we go. That was Lee Gatt, and she is confidential recipient for vulnerable people. And I will, onto the podcast for this, I will put the web addresses that you'll be able to make contact with Lee and also get more information.